songs tonight.
Amen.
Thankful to be back again this evening in the revival services. Welcome our visitors. Thankful to have you with us tonight. And appreciate Brother Bryson. Thankful for the good preaching that he's done here this week. I know the Lord's really helped him. And I've enjoyed every message I've heard. I ask for your prayers tonight. I've got a thought that the Lord gave me that I'd like to share with you this evening. I want to look at a couple of verses of Scripture from the first epistle of John in chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. The first word in the first verse of 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to read this word and stop here for just a minute, because it says, "Behold." And when I read this word in the Bible, because of that word preceding what is said in other verses, when I see the word "behold," it makes me think it's time to give attention. Something big is about to be said. You can look in the first chapter of Revelation, and it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." You can look in the gospel according to John and find that when John the Baptist was there at the Jordan baptizing and Jesus was coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so John here again says, "Behold," and this is what he wanted us to behold. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And I want to stop with just reading those two verses this evening for a scripture reading. And I want to talk to you tonight about the love of God. And I'll be honest with you, I feel very blessed and very privileged tonight to have been led of the Lord and given this thought to have the opportunity to try to address a congregation concerning the great love of God. I don't think there's anything, in fact, that's, I don't want to say it that way, I know that there's nothing that anybody could ever experience any better than knowing the love of God. I remember a song in, I can't remember which book it's in. It's in one of the hymnals that we use in our missionary Baptist churches. And it's talking about the love of God. And it says, "Until you've known the love of God." You've known nothing until you've known the love of God. And I want to talk tonight about that, about love and love in its different applications. The filial love that exists among us as humans, especially the great agape, the unconditional love of God towards mankind. But I'm thankful that God loves us, because if he didn't love us, we wouldn't have any hope, would we? We would have had absolutely no hope had it not been for the love of God. And I believe the song that Brother Ronnie sung before us tonight, I believe that love is why that we're free. Love is why God did the things that he did. And we want to try to speak about some of those things in this meeting, but I want to try to talk to you about different aspects of love. And some of the things that Brother Bryson said last night, the Lord used those things to stir my heart. And I'm afraid that love in this way is swiftly leaving us as a nation of people. There's a way that we are to love that I'm afraid that is being left off. And it really, honestly, has affected families, and it's affected children, I believe, in a great way. There are things that love demands. I want you to think about that. There are things that love demands. If you really, truly love someone, there are things that love demands of you. Brother Bryson spoke about how that God doesn't let us as His people just do whatever we want to do and live however we want to live without bringing His chastening hand upon us. And the reason that He does that is not because of hatred or not because of an ill wish to do us harm, but God chastens those whom He loves. If you belong to God, if you are God's child and you walk disobedient to the Lord, He's going to chasten you. He's going to chastise you. And that means correct. He's going to correct you. God's going to show you how that you are wrong, and He's going to punish you for that, and He's going to lead you back into the right way. He does that because He loves us. A good parent, a parent that is what they ought to be, will discipline their children. And I'm going to stand for that. And I'm not about to give that up, because I believe that there has been a lot of damage that has been caused to young people because they have not been disciplined. Let me tell you something. It won't work. And some of you here tonight are young parents, and I want you to know this. It will not work the times that you ought to be a parent. If you're trying to be a friend to your child rather than a parent, you're going to have trouble. And your child is going to have trouble. There are times when, as parents, that's exactly what we have to be, is the parent. And we have a responsibility toward them as parents to correct them when they're wrong, and to chastise them when they're wrong, and to also to show them what is right and what they need to do in order to correct that. And that's love. That's love. You know what I thought about today, and you'll probably find this a little amusing. I really didn't find it too amusing at the time that it happened. But when I was in school, you know, I'm sorry that I have to tell this, but it happened, and God knows about it. When I was in school, I got in trouble one time in a class. And my teacher took me down to the vice principal's office. And after he got finished talking to me, he told me that I was going to be paddled. And I thought, oh, I was hoping he wouldn't tell me that, because I had been paddled by him before. And he could sure swing that paddle. I mean, he could really let her rip. And I didn't want to be paddled by him again. I really didn't. And when he said that, I thought, goodness sakes, here we go. Well, but then he looked at me, and he said, well, Jerry, he said, since you got in trouble, I remember her name. My teacher's name was Mrs. Cummings. And he said, because you got in trouble in Mrs. Cummings' class, I'm going to let her do the honors. I'm going to let her paddle you. And I thought, I thought I'd really had it made. I mean, I thought I had really caught a break. And because now this big man wasn't going to be swinging the paddle and it wasn't going to be as bad. And so he gave that paddle to that woman. And I'll tell you what, I'll never underestimate the power of a woman again. I mean, she lit me up. I went back to the class and I couldn't hardly sit down. And there's a point in that. I wanted to make a point in that. You know what grade I was in when that happened? I wasn't in first grade. I wasn't in second grade. I was in my first year of high school when that happened. Think about that. A high school kid got in trouble in class and had to go to the vice principal's office and get a spanking, get a paddling. And, you know, I think it's sad that things like that ever had to stop. I do. You may have a different opinion of that. And I understand that there were those in education that abused it. I don't believe in abusing children. And I know there were those in education that were guilty of that. But it's really sad overall that anything like that ever had to stop, because human beings need discipline. We need discipline. We don't always act right. We don't always do everything that's right. And I'll tell you what, I'm convinced, and I, like I said, I didn't think so much about it at the time, but I'm convinced now that teacher and that vice principal, they cared something about me. They cared that I was acting up. They were not willing to just turn their head and ignore me. They wanted me to know that if I didn't act right, that I was going to pay the price for it. That I was going to be punished for that, and I couldn't just go to school and act like that. And I have seen, I have been out in public before, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've been out in public before, and I have seen people in the grocery stores and restaurants and other places that, I'm going to tell you the truth, it seemed to me like the child was in charge. Like the child was running the show. And when we are children, we need discipline. And if we get it from loving parents, it will help us to grow up and be much better people than if we don't get it. It sure will. And God, because of His great love for us as His children, when we do something wrong, God doesn't just let us go. He doesn't just say, well, I don't have time to deal with you. No, God chastises those that He loves. He chastises His children when they get out of line. You know, to be quite honest with you, for those that, and I didn't intend to say this, but I'm going to, for those in the world that believe that people lose their salvation when they do something wrong, I would love for them to explain to me what chastisement is about. If we were to lose our salvation by doing something wrong, then there'd be no place for chastisement, would there? No, when we that are saved, when we sin against God, when we do something evil against God, God corrects us, God chastens us for that, or however you choose to pronounce it, and He shows us what's right. He doesn't just let us walk however we want to. And the scriptures are very plain on it. Brother Bryson quoted it last night. The scriptures are unmistakable. If you believe that you're a child of God and you can just live any old filthy way that you want to live, and God doesn't do that to you, then the Bible declares you to be a bastard and not a son. It's just that plain. You've missed it. You obviously don't have what you thought you had, because He will chastise His children. I've heard Brother Ray Collins several times testify to that fact about how that, you know, God chastised him and brought him back. He did that to me. There are times when I got out of line with God and God did that same thing to me, and I thank the Lord for that. That's just further evidence to us that we belong to Him. So God does that because of love. I'm going to say this, I think a lot of people in this day and age don't like it, but I'll tell you what, discipline has its place in the church. And churches suffer when they don't practice that. And if we really love each other the way that we ought to love each other, we will practice church discipline. When somebody is walking contrary to God, the church will practice discipline if we love that person. And when we neglect that and we just turn our heads and we don't do that, then our love is not nearly what it ought to be for one another. You know what? If you are my brother or my sister, if you will just let me live my life contrary to God and never rebuke me, then you're not showing me love. A lot of people think they are. They think, well, I love them, so I don't want to do anything to hurt their feelings. I don't want to say anything that might make them mad at me or anything like that. Sometimes people do that with their children. I don't want to whip them or I don't want to correct them because they might get mad at me and it'll disrupt the harmony of the family. But listen, folks, if we do that, we're not loving them properly. I promise you that we're not. And if we love each other the way that we ought to, the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. And it is. It is. We have a duty, I believe, in that way to each other. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I want to talk for a moment about the love that exists among the people of God. To me, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. We have a wonderful fellowship. We have a wonderful fellowship in the Lord. Loving each other. I believe that there's a love that exists among God's family, among a spiritual family. I believe there's a love there that exists that supersedes the love of a natural family. I do. We know, John again said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I believe it wasn't long ago, maybe just a few weeks ago, I spoke about this, how that when God saved my soul, that I realized that he had given me a love for the people of God, and I grew up among the people of God. I grew up being taken to missionary Baptist church services as far back as I can remember. And I grew up among the people of God, but when the Lord saved my soul, I realized that there was a special love in my heart for my brothers and my sisters in the Lord that had not existed before. And the Apostle John said that is one of the assurances, or that is one of the things that gives us evidence that we have been saved, that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, I love Brother Bryson. I do. I remember, and I thought about this, this has been years ago, but it just came to my mind today. I thought about this when I was thinking about these thoughts and studying these thoughts. I remember years ago, it's probably been 20 or 25 years ago, and I remember one morning that I just felt like, and only God knows why, but I just felt very impressed to do this, and I called Brother Bryson on the phone one morning. And we talked for just a moment, and I said, well, Brother Bryson, I really just called you to tell you that I love you. And I remember things on the other end of the phone got kind of silent. And then I heard him in the phone weeping. I mean, there's something special about the love that exists among the people of God. There's just something special about that. And I do feel a love for people that I realize more, even more than what I had. And I grew up in a family where there were six children, and we had a mom and dad that loved us. And let me tell you something here. If you're here tonight and you're a young person, if you're a child tonight, let me tell you something. If you have got a mother and a father that love you, that love you enough that they will provide for you, that they will, work hard to see to it that you have the things that you need in this life, and they will provide you shelter, and they'll provide you clothing, and they'll provide you food, and they will teach you what's right, and they will punish you for doing what's wrong. If you've got parents like that, you ought to thank God for them, because you are a blessed child if you have parents like that. You may not realize it, you won't realize it right now as much as you will when you get older. But I grew up in a family where, we didn't have a whole lot of worldly possessions. My mom and dad, worked hard and lived from week to week, from paycheck to paycheck, and took care of the bills the best they could. And we had food to eat, and we had the things we need. We certainly didn't have riches. We were not surrounded by worldly wealth, but there was love that was there. They showed their love for us as parents, and we had a love that existed among us as siblings. When we were growing up, we loved each other. But the love that exists in the family of God, I'm telling you, there's just something special about it. It has amazed me at times, how you can come in contact with a brother or a sister in the Lord, and you never really knew them, but you meet them, and before you have very much time together, you just really begin to love that person. I mean, there's a kindred spirit there. It's like that existed between Jonathan and David. The Bible says that their souls were knit together. Amen. And that's the way it is with God's people. Our souls are knit together in love. And love is a great evidence of things. In fact, I love to read the writings of John because I think he wrote those things for the kind of mind that I have, because his words are simple. And I don't seem to have any trouble understanding them. And John just came right out and said, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're just telling a lie. Amen. You're just lying. If you say you love God and you won't do anything for your brother, if you won't help him, if what you do towards him is evil, and you don't show love for him, but rather you despise him or hate him, John just said you are lying, and in fact, he said, you're in darkness. You're in darkness. Because the love of God doesn't make you hate other people. The love of God in your heart doesn't make you hate your brother and sister. It causes you to love them. To love them. I'm thankful for the love. I'll be honest with you. I'm thankful for the love that exists among us here at our church. I am. When I came here a few years back to be your pastor, I felt like that I was received in love. And I thank God every day, somewhere through the day, every day, in one way or another, I thank God for the love that has been shown towards me and towards my wife. I truly do. I thank the Lord for that. But let me tell you something. Friends, that love that exists among us as the children of God, we better thank God for that, because we wouldn't feel that for each other had not God put that love in our hearts. It doesn't just exist in us. It's not something that we have ourselves. We feel that, and we feel that love towards each other because God put that type of love in our heart, and He made it possible. Brother Bryson, God made it possible when He saved my soul. He made it possible for me to love you the way that I do. He made it possible for me to love you the way that I do. I wouldn't have that type of love had not God shed His love abroad in my heart. Amen. By the Holy Ghost when He saved me from my sins. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward, as it's already been said this week, I'm looking forward most of all to seeing the one that saved me from my sins and being in His presence for all eternity. But I think about this often, and I look forward to a place where I will be with my brothers and my sisters in the Lord, because I believe that heaven will be a land of love. I don't think there'll be anybody there that'll ever try to hurt anybody else or mean ill towards anybody else. It'll be a land of great love and great harmony and great peace. What manner of love God bestowed upon us that we should be called His children, that we should be called the sons of God. You know, there are two things that I think about when I think about that verse. Not only the great manifestation of God's love, not only the great love that He has bestowed upon us, but the fact that He was willing to bestow His love upon somebody like me at all. The fact that God was, you know, willing to look down because this is what God saw, the scriptures tell us. This is what He saw when He looked down upon the world. The Lord looked down upon the children of men to see if there were any good, to see if there were any righteous. And you know what He found? That there were none. Not even one. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 19, speaking about the love of Christ, and you know, along with the great blessing that I feel and the great privilege I feel of being able to bring this message today and to share some things concerning the love of God, I also realize the great dilemma that I have standing before you, because I know that I won't really be able to fully expound the love of God before you. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 19, he said, "The love of Christ passeth knowledge." I know that God loved us. I sure do. I know that He loved the world. But figuring out why, that's a different story, isn't it? That's a different story. The only thing I know to tell you is God loved us because He did. I'll tell you something that love does. Love manifests itself in actions. You can tell somebody that you love them. You can speak those three words 400 times a day to them. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's a wonderful thing to do. You know, if you love somebody, that's a wonderful thing to tell them that you love them. But listen, if love never manifests itself in actions, you will never convince somebody with words that you love them. Love manifests itself in actions. The Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God gave His Son." Action, actions speak louder than words. You may tell somebody that you love them, but if you never show it, they're not going to believe it. And you may not tell them in words that you love them, but if you show them by your actions, they'll know it. They'll know that they're loved. We know that God loved us. In fact, the Bible tells us, and I want you to listen to this, lost sinner, if you're here tonight and you're separated from God, I want you to listen to this, because God loves you more than anybody's ever going to love you. Amen. It might be hard. We've heard about that special love that a mother has for her children, and it does exist. Friends, I wouldn't discredit that for a minute. It does exist. There is a special bond there, and there is a special love, I believe, that a mother has for her child. But let me tell you something, and it may be hard for you to realize this when you're in your youth, because you do, you do feel that love, and you're so able to relate to that love that your mother shows towards you. But I want you to know this, that there is somebody that loves you more even than your mother. There's somebody that has a supreme love for you. And that's the Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What happened? Love demanded it, didn't it? Love, or perhaps demand's not a good word, love promotes action. Love promotes action. God loved the world. God looked down upon the world and he saw the wickedness of man. He saw that there was none good, no, not one. He saw that there was none that was seeking after God, that there was none that was falling after righteousness. He saw the whole world, every one of us, guilty of sin. Guilty of transgressing his law, guilty of being a sinner before him. God saw us that way, and yet he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him. He sent him here. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God loved the world so much, he looked down upon this, upon his creation that was undeserving. That, folks, listen, there's not one of us that deserves to be saved. There's not one of us that has ever done anything to merit that. God looked down upon a sinful race, upon a sinful creation of people that were guilty of sin, and that there was nothing in them whatsoever to deserve his love, and he sent his son to die for our sins. That's how much that he loved the world. Love promotes giving. You know what you'll do if you love God? You'll give to him. If you love your children, you'll give to them. God so loved the world that he gave. And not only did he give, but he gave the very best that he had. God gave his only begotten son. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave him to us knowing what he would experience in this life, knowing the things that he would suffer, knowing the trials that he would go through, knowing the pain that he would feel, knowing, as Brother Bryson said, not only the spiritual or not only the physical pain that his son would face in this world, but the spiritual anguish that he would go through. God, knowing all of those things that would befall his son, gave him to die for our sins, that whosoever, you know who that is, that any of these sinners, any of these people that were guilty of sin could have everlasting life by exercising their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were sinners, and Christ died for the ungodly. You know, when he was here, he didn't do anything When the Lord Jesus was here, he didn't do anything for his own benefit. Everything he did was for us. Everything he did was that he might bring us to God, that he might make a way, that he might be that bridge between heaven and earth that would allow us access to the Heavenly Father. When he was praying there in Gethsemane, praying that God would give him the strength, praying that his Heavenly Father would help him to take that cup and to drink it, I'll tell you what, it was his love for lost humanity that was driving that prayer. That was the burden behind that prayer. That's why he was praying, God, give me the strength. If it's possible, you know, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. I'll tell you one thing. Those nails that those Roman soldiers had, I don't care if they'd have been 6 feet long, they weren't strong enough to hold the Lord to the cross. The scourging, the whipping, the beating, Pilate's rule, none of that was strong enough to crucify Jesus. None of it. When he hung suspended there between heaven and earth, dying on the cross there, the only power on earth that was strong enough to hold him to the cross was the love that he had for us. Was the love that he had for lost sinners. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured it. He despised the shame. And he endured that for the joy that was set before him, to be able to look ahead to what would happen as a result of his sacrifice, that he might bring many sons to glory for the joy that was out in front of him. He was able to endure those things. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. He's proven it to us in his word. But hasn't he also proven it to you by experience? Haven't you had those times when, boy, you just knew that God had his big old loving arms around you, and he was embracing you, and he was holding you? I believe that there have been many people that have already gone on before us. They've already left the walks of this life, and they were saved, and they were ready to go. And when they were leaving this world, God had those arms of love around them. And boy, they just peacefully went home to be with God. God's love. I'll tell you what, there's nothing like God's love. There have been times when I've needed it so desperately. And I prayed and asked God, gone before the Lord and said, Lord, I can't take this. I'm not strong enough for this. I can't face this by myself. And just feel the love of God. Just feel him pull you into his bosom and embrace you. I'll tell you, God loves his children. He loves his children. If you're here tonight and you're lost, God so loved you that he gave his son, gave him to die so that you could have a way to be saved. The Bible says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. You know, when you really, truly, honestly love somebody, you will prefer them and their welfare above your own. I mean, if you really, honestly love somebody, you will. What do you think, through the years, what do you think has caused parents to do without things that they really needed, but to just deny them and do without them so that they could give things to their children? You think hate would promote such a thing as that? No. Only love will cause somebody to do that. If you really honestly, in your heart, if you really honestly have a pure love for somebody, their welfare, their well-being will mean more to you than your own. God so loved us, sinners, that he gave his sinless son to come here and to die for our sins. I'd like for us to have a song. I feel like that, I'll tell you honestly how I feel right now. I feel like I made a weak attempt to try to tell you about the love of God, but that's all I can do because it's just something that's bigger than I can explain. It's more than I can explain to you. But I'm glad I've experienced it. I'm glad that I know what it is. I'm glad that I know that God put his love in my heart when he saved me from my sins. And, you know, if you've known the love of God, and you do know it in your heart, you know, no matter what else happens in life, you're a winner. You're a winner, no matter what else happens. So let's stand and sing, and maybe somebody here tonight is lost and needs to come to the Lord. And we certainly want to encourage you to do that because you will be coming to a loving God. You'll be coming to a God that will, if you'll meet his conditions, will save you from your sins and put his love in your heart while we stand and sing.